The six collections that we finally agreed on for the shortlist each represent, in their individual ways, the energy and verve and innovation that we were looking for. Judy Brown's Crowd Sensations, for example, is fast and vivid and portrays a highly alert mind. The subject matter is varied and interesting, but importantly, it's combined with a really powerful sense of spoken rhythm and structure. This spoken sound of the language is very appealing because it can sound very energetic and free-flowing and natural, but it also has an untamed air, so that it verges on the crazy or over the top, which works very well in these poems, such as this line in the first poem, which goes, "Christ, there's so much gorgeous air explaining itself in the back of your painting." This is funny, but it's also alarming, and it makes me as a reader want to know more about what's going on and what's being said and to whom. The title of this book, Crowd Sensations, really captures its themes and sounds. And what made it stand out for the shortlist is the way that Judy Brown manages to cast such a sharp and insightful eye and ear on our daily lives in order to craft, and these are highly crafted, compelling and pitch-perfect poems. John Clegg's Holy Toledo is witty, sophisticated, and also highly energetic. What struck both of us about this collection was its remarkable linguistic fluency and its questioning of received truths. It's playful and serious, and I think this is something else that appealed to us a great deal, and it's something that runs through all of the shortlisted collections. But this is clearly the work of a poet who reads and thinks deeply, and many of the poems are a kind of response to great poets or critics. They're complicated in part, but this is also quite appealing, and in a second collection especially, it's a welcome challenge for a reader to be met with. It shows that the poet is moving on, or perhaps moving deeper, into certain ideas and themes that were beginning to take shape in the first collection. But I was also very taken with John Clegg's ability to describe the natural world, such as in his poem Two Birds, which is on the one hand clear-eyed and unsentimental, but on the other hand tender and strangely beautiful. I think that both of these traits are very appealing to a reader. John Clegg can make skilled use of repetition, clarity of sound, melody, syllables, rhyme, the bedrock of poetry, which remains key to its success. Emma Hammond's The Story of No is a compelling read. Once I started, I couldn't put it down until I'd reached the end, and I found the stories and descriptions in this book utterly absorbing. Like the Judy Brown collection, the language here is very fast-paced. It lists, it jumps around, it makes jokes, it makes sly remarks, it makes deeply moving statements. It's easy to relate to, which is appealing. The poems often describe the weird world of Western consumerism and its overcrowded, inane search for lifestyle. Again, the language and forms are close to speech and to prose, which gives them this energy and speed. But read closer or read aloud, and you can tell that they make excellent use of half rhyme. What would we do without half rhyme and rhythm? There is music contained within these apparently free forms. Emma Hammond's poems are often very funny because they use and play with recognizable images. Laura Ashley is a type of death, death by thank you notes, death by bald socks. Kat Kidson is a type of illness. I love this piece. But this is a poet who can also take your breath away in her poems about nature and complex emotions. John McCullough's Spacecraft is a brilliantly, beautifully, expertly written book. And really, it's its total celebration of language, its almost physical, almost erotic desire for language that made this collection stand out for the shortlist. This book celebrates words in all their etymological glory. And for me as a poet, this is wonderful. In the poems, the descriptions of language and of relationships become at times interchangeable. An exclamation mark is like a hand on the spine, or a hand is seen resting on the spine of a book. Both are deeply sensuous images. There are also stunningly precise descriptions of nature here, such as the lovely poem about lichen, as well as an excellent monologue-style middle section in the poem The Willful Eye, a piece which uses repetition with dramatic effect. And the burnt-out West Pier decaying, and the West Pier standing tenacious, and the dusk like dabbed rouge on the channel, and the dusk spreading out like a virus. Repetition, drama, space, craft, these are all used here with rare and admirable skill. In one of McCullough's poems, he has the line, "The difference is audible," and this is definitely something you can say about this book. Sam Riviere's Kim Kardashian's Marriage is a remarkable, radical, far-reaching second collection. This really does represent new poetry in the sense that both in its conception and its realization, it is surprising, unexpected, and thoroughly executed. Inspired by the publicized life of British celebrity Kim Kardashian and her marriage that lasted only 72 days, this book takes the idea of observation and social commentary to a whole new level. It makes for a fascinating reading, disconcerting, hypnotic, frightening, and exciting. Drawing on the unreal reality of social media, it's both strange and familiar, a collection of broken pieces, part found, part improvised, a kind of thesis containing only the footnotes. As with all good works of collage, it's gathering together which constitutes the creative practice, and it's the proximity of the material that makes the point. This book demonstrates a discerning creative vision, and that was key in choosing it for the shortlist. It also makes effective use of form and structure, in particular its use of short fragments and repetitions, the recurring words in the titles, for example. The more they recur, the more we start to seek in them wisdoms or warnings. Sandeep Parmar's Eidolon is another example of an extremely interesting idea that's been pushed very far indeed, so that the final product, the poems, fully and thrillingly live up to the initial plan. There's a very pleasing structure here. It manages to be both extremely self-contained and open to interpretation and further imaginings. The background idea is a modern revision of the Helen myth, and these poems show us Helen in today's world, talking on the phone, standing in a queue in a DIY shop, looking inside hotel drawers, watching TV. It's a brilliant poetic device, and Helen becomes here a compelling alter ego. The poems are about society and power and communication, and the language is highly charged, though it's quite pared back and modern in the sense that the lines are short and end abruptly. So again, it echoes speech, but perhaps at times a traumatized or interrupted speech. And none of the poems have individual titles, they are just numbered pieces, which creates a very nice crossover between found archaic fragments and nameless parts of a machine. This book was chosen for the shortlist because it is dramatic, sad, complex, and intelligent, and it is an entire narrative. To quote Sandeep Parmar herself, these are poems made of words and voices. A combination which is at first quiet, then very interesting, and then electric.